The topic for the shiur is called Al Mo'ov de Ha'aretz. It is the beginning of a pasuk that was quoted, or that is quoted, in the Haftorah this morning in Yirmiyahu Perikhes. And it is subtitled The Unique Morning of Tisha B'Av, the real reason why the Churban occurred. We want to delve into this rather timely topic, and that is to understand, is there something unique about Tisha B'Av? And what we're suggesting is that if we can wrap our heads around what is unique about Tisha B'Av, then this will help us to understand the central reason why the Churban occurred. So let's begin. Okay. Tisha B'Av has many distinguishing features. But according to the Gemara at the end of Tainus, which discusses many of the aspects of Tisha B'Av, and as codified by the Rambam in his Perish HaMishnayos at the end of Tisha B'Av, the Rambam says that Tisha B'Av is unique. Why is it unique? Because it contains an element that none of the other fast days have, even Yom Kippur. And that element is the element of Avelut, the element of mourning. Now, it's true, we have the other three fast days during the year, which commemorate the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, but all of those fast days are called Ta'anit Tzibur. It's simply a fast day. It's an important day, we fast. However, there are many kulas, there are many leniencies if a person cannot. Women who are pregnant, women who are nursing do not have to fast on these days. However, when it comes to Tisha B'Av, in addition to it being a Ta'anit Tzibur, so the Rambam tells us, based upon the Gemara, and the Rambam says that Kol HaMitzvos HaNoagos Ba'ovel Noagos B'Tisha B'Av, a quote from the Gemara in Tainus, that all the customs that a person observes when Chas V'Shalom, they're sitting Shiva, is something that a person, not all of them obviously, but many of them, we do on Tisha B'Av. Just take a look. You're sitting on the floor. This is what people do when they sit Shiva. We're not wearing leather shoes, we do not greet each other, and the like. All these are aspects of Tisha B'Av, where we are thrown, we are plunged into intense mourning over the Churban HaBayis. Rav Soloveitchik, quoting the Gemara from Yevamos, tells us that the Avelus of Tisha B'Av is different than the Avelus that a person, Chas V'Shalom, would have to observe on the loss of a loved one. That Avelus is called Avelus Chadosha. It is an intense Avelus which is thrust upon an individual immediately. The person experiences Aninus, the person experiences Avelut. The person cannot function. And then there's the Shiva, and then there's the Shloshim, and then for parents, the Yud Beis Chodesh. However, the Avelus of Tisha B'Av works in reverse. We first began with what? The 3 weeks. And then we build up to what? Shavua Shechol B'Av, the week of Tisha B'Av. And finally, Tisha B'Av itself brings us back to the most intense feeling of Avelus that we have for the Beis HaMikdash, this Avelus Yeshana, the old Avelus, which can only be experienced if we build up to it. Now, we said that we observe many of the Nihugi Avelus that a person observes during Shiva. But perhaps one of the most unusual is the following. And this is brought down in the Gemara in Tainus. And the Gemara says, Asur likros b'Torah b'Neviim b'Ksuvim l'shanos b'Mishnu v'Talmud. It is forbidden to learn Torah on Tisha B'Av. Just like an Ovel, someone who is in mourning is not permitted to learn Torah, so too we are not permitted to learn Torah on Tisha B'Av. What we're doing now, the only heter, as the Gemara tells us, is we are permitted to learn on Tisha B'Av aspects which deal with inyanei diyoma, with what we're doing during the day, what the day consists of. And so we're allowed to study the book of Eicha. We're allowed to read the portions from the Gemara in Gittin which deal with the Churban HaBayis. We can read the prophecies of Yirmiyahu. We can learn those things which will help us appreciate the depth and the meaning of the day. But why can't we learn other things? So two reasons are given by the Rishonim. Why aren't we permitted to learn any aspect of Torah? After all, Talmud Torah keneged kulam. Is there anything more valuable, more worthwhile than Torah? So Rashi comments and he says that the reason why we don't learn Torah is because, based on the Gemara, Pikudei Hashem misamche lev. When a person learns Torah, it gives him a great deal of joy. The halachos, the laws of Hashem, are misamche lev. They bring joy to the heart. And of course, Tisha B'Av is not a time for a person to experience simcha. The Maharsha, in his comments on that Gemara, disagrees with Rashi for a variety of reasons. And he says there's another reason why we're not allowed to learn Torah. And that reason is Hesech Hadas. That if we learn Torah other than what we are permitted to study, it's going to take our mind off the Avelis. If I sit down and open up, let's say, a tractate of Bav Metzia, and I begin discussing and learning and analyzing laws of civil disputes and Dine Mamonos, obviously, if I get into it, I'm not going to be able to concentrate. I'm going to completely be oblivious to the fast. So the Maharsha says, Hesech Hadas, I'm not allowed to learn Torah because it'll distract me from the fast. My teachers have taught me that there may be a third reason why we're not permitted to learn Torah on Tisha B'Av other than what we're doing now. And this shiur basically is an attempt to understand what that reason is, and in doing so, I think we'll be able to probe deeper into the meaning of what Churban is, and what I'd like to suggest is its central cause, why we're doing what we're doing this morning. So here I would like you to turn to the central text of the shiur, which is found at the bottom of the first page, line 50, the Gemara in Nidarim. It's actually another Gemara, is in Bava Metzia, Pei Hei. The Gemaras are more or less similar, but this I'd like to read with you inside. The Gemara quotes a pasuk, and that pasuk is located on line 25. Let's look at that pasuk. The pasuk in Yirmiyahu, which we read in the Haftorah, Mi ha'ish hechacham v'yaven ezos, who is so wise who can understand this? Understand what? Vasher diber pi Hashem elav v'agida, what was it that the wisest person could not understand? Al ma'av de ha'aretz. Why did we lose the land? Nitztak ha'midbar mibli over. That the land became like parched, like a desert, abandoned. No one is walking in it. So Hashem gives the answer, Vayomer Hashem. Now let's stop here. If the Navi didn't give us the next pasuk, would we know the answer to this question, Al Ma'av de Haaretz? You all know the answer. And clearly, if the Talmud quotes this answer, the great wise people understand that answer as well. Take a look at line 32, the Gemara in Yuma. Mikdash Rishon mipnei Ma'achorav. We're talking about Yirmiyahu. Let's stick with the first temple. Why was the first temple destroyed? Bimnei Shlosha Devarim Shayuba. We all know the three cardinal sins. Avodah Zarah, idolatry. Gili Arayah, sexual immorality. Shfichas Damim, murder. What's the question of the Navi? Al Ma'av de Haaretz. Why did we lose that? We know why we lost the land. We were guilty of committing terrible, terrible sins. So how do I understand what the Navi is telling us? So now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu chimes in. It's like no wise person understood this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to give us the answer. What's the answer? Al azavam es Torah si asher nasati lifnehem velo shamu v'koli velo holchuva. So Hashem says, because they abandoned my Torah. I understand. We couldn't figure that out by ourselves. Why does the Navi say, Mi ha'ish hechacham v'yaven esos? Only a wise person. Doesn't anyone know why we lost the land? We didn't listen to the Torah. Is that such a hard thing to understand? So the Gemara and Nidarim Bav Metzia have this very same issue with these psukim in Yirmiyahu. And they come up with an incredible answer, a very difficult answer. Let's take a look. The last line on page one. Doma Rav Yudo Marav, my dichsiv mi oishe chacham v'yoven ezos. Now go to the next page. Dover ze, or flip the page over. Dover ze nishan lachachamim v'levim v'lo pirshu. Listen to this. The great prophets were asked this question. The chachamim, the wise men, were asked this question. And you know what? They didn't know the answer. The prophets didn't know the answer to this question. Why was the land lost? The prophets? The rabbis, we have a Gemara that tells us explicitly why the land was lost. Ad sheperishu HaKadosh Baruch Hu ba'atzmo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to give the answer. And what was the answer of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Vayomer Hashem al azavam es torasi. Now listen to this. Hainu shaloshamu b'koli hainu loholchu ba. Amar Rav Yehuda marav she'ein mevarchim b'torah tchila. And here we have the central question. You know what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling us? That the reason why we lost the land was not because we didn't study Torah, but because we didn't recite the blessing over the Torah first. In other words, all of this happened, the Churban, why we're here this morning, is for one reason, according to Rav Yehuda Marav, and that reason is because the people then failed to recite the blessing before the Torah. And because of that, everything else occurred. The entire catastrophe, the tragedy, the calamity of Churban HaBayis happened because we didn't say a bracha. So, all the Rishonim, the early Achronim chime in. We don't have time to quote them, but it's all here. And they say, what sort of answer is this? You mean to tell me for this small little sin, for this little sin, if we even want to call it a sin, that they didn't recite the blessing before the Torah, you're telling me that for this reason the entire temple was destroyed? This is why Alma of the Haaretz, why we lost the land? Is this what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling us, what the Navi was quoting in the name of Hashem? That's what the Gemara says in two places. How are we to understand it? A very, very difficult question. So I'm going to suggest, now stay with me on this now, I'm going to suggest a number of answers. But before we get to that, I want to throw in another question. You'll see why this is important. What sort of blessing is Birchas Hatorah? I'm talking about Birchas Hatorah, not when the men get the Aliyah. It's the bracha, brachato Hashem, Elokeinu melech olam asher kedishanu b'mitzvosov, tzivanu laso b'divrei Torah, v'harev no Hashem Elokeinu, Es divrei sarah secha befinu v'fi amcha beish Yisrael, etc. Kulanu yodei shemecha v'alom dei sarah secha l'shma bruchat Hashem hamalamei Torah le'amo Yisrael. Blessing number one. Blessing number two. Asher boch abonu mikol ha'amim v'nasa lanu. Those are the two blessings that are recited in the morning. By the way, not just by men. Women are equally obligated to recite this bracha. The great Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, the grandfather of my Rebbe, Rav Soloveitchik, said explicitly in his comments that women are obligated in the morning to recite this blessing. Their obligation is no different than that of the man. There are reasons for that. Now, when the Ramban and the Sefer Achinuch, the sources are quoted here, when they discuss this blessing, they say, this blessing of Birchas HaTorah is a biblical obligation. All blessings are basically rabbinic in nature. This blessing is a biblical obligation. Can anyone tell me there's only one other blessing that is a biblical obligation? What is it? Benching. Benching. When we bench, it's a biblical obligation. There is only one other blessing which is a biblical obligation. According to the Ramban, the Sefer Achinuch, it is Birchas HaTorah. It's a very, very important blessing. Now, when they discuss this blessing, they say that this blessing is called a Birchas Hodah. It's a Thanksgiving blessing. Why is the Birchas HaTorah Thanksgiving? It's not a Birchas HaMitzvah. It's not a blessing that we recite before we do a mitzvah. It's a blessing of Thanksgiving. Let me ask you something, ladies. When you recite a blessing of Thanksgiving, do you recite it before or after the event? Usually after. When you eat, when do you bench? You bench after, and you're thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It would make sense that what? Birchas HaTorah, I should recite when? after. I'm thanking Hashem. That is not the halacha, as you know. It's Birchas HaTorah first. Why is that so? Why is Birchas HaTorah an exception to the rule that all blessings of thanksgiving come after we know what to thank Hashem for? Birchas HaTorah comes first. Why? Hold on to that question. Now let's try to discuss, why is it that just because the Jewish people didn't say a blessing over the Torah first, the blessing that we're talking about, right? Why is it that that resulted in Churban? So there are two basic approaches by the Rishonim. Again, it's all recorded here, but for the sake of, or for the lack of time, we're just going to sort of adumbrate it and summarize it together. Rashi says one group of reasons is because they didn't show proper cover to the Torah. When you don't say a blessing over the Torah, you're not showing cover to the Torah. That's what Rashi says. And the Meiri says, if you don't recite a blessing over the Torah, you're mekilim bo, you're taking the Torah lightly. They don't explain what they mean. Listen to this interpretation. An interpretation of the Tosfos Shans, one of the early Balei HaTosfos. He says, the Gemara Megillah says, who do we call up first to the Torah? We call a Kohen up, right? That's what we do today. Once upon a time, that was not the case. The Gemara Megillah in the third Perek tells us that once upon a time, the Talmud Chacham, the Gadol Hador, if he was in Shul, he got the first Aliyah, not the Kohen. A Talmud Chacham comes before a Kohen Ama Oretz. If the Kohen was a big Talmud Chacham, for sure. Obviously, we don't want to get into all sorts of controversies. We have a shul, we're calling people to the Torah, who's going to determine who's a great one and who's not a great one? So the Kohen always gets the Aliyah first. So the Tosfos Shans says, you know what it means? It meant that the great Talmidei Chachamim, they didn't accept the first Aliyah. They should have gotten the first Aliyah. They didn't accept it. They gave it to the Kohen, who knew nothing. So the Tosfos Shans says, they didn't make the bracha over the Torah first. And by doing so, they displayed a lack of appreciation of the importance of Torah. It's not them. Their being called up first means it's the Torah. It's the Torah that they know. And they sort of denigrated it. They poo-pooed it. So the Tosfos Shans says that's what it means. They didn't consider the Torah important. But listen to this reason. The Chasam Sofer, the Mishnah Brura, the Beis Yosef all give this reason. It's a very interesting reason. They said, if you don't say a blessing over the Torah, then you know what it looks like? It looks like for you, the Torah is nothing more than, and here's the language, kechochmas ha'amim, umnus ba'alma. It's just what? It's another subject. It's what? It's Torah 101. It's Talmud 301. It's a university course. There's nothing necessarily wrong with that. Many, many people study Talmud and Torah in the university. But that's not the Torah that we're talking about. That's academic Torah. It has its place. But when you refuse to say a bracha over the Torah first, it's indicative of the fact that you're treating the Torah like any other discipline. And it's not. When you say a bracha over the Torah, you're elevating it to another level. And because, according to the Chasam Sofer, Beis Yosef, and others, because the people didn't do that, they treated the Torah just like another subject, another course. That led to terrible things. So that's one approach. They didn't show proper cover to the Torah. There is another approach, and this fits in well with the bracha. How did the bracha, the Birchas HaTorah, what does it say? It says, Kulonu yodei shemecha velomdei sorasecha lishma. If you don't say a blessing over the Torah, it is indicative of the fact that you're not going to be learning Torah lishma. What does learning Torah lishma mean? It means learning Torah for its own sake without any ulterior motive. I'm doing it purely because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has commanded me to do so. So listen to some of the rather interesting examples that the Mefarshim bring down. What happens when you don't study Torah lishma? You're liable to make some terrible, terrible mistakes. Serious mistakes, so serious that it can result in the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. What's the first mistake that you can possibly make? So The Toras Chaim, who was a great Rav in the 16th, 17th century, along with others, claims and says, you know what it is? He says, if you learn Torah not for its own sake, you know why you're learning Torah? Makes me into a big man. I can go around espousing Torah. I can put people down. It can create a certain yuhara, a certain pride. I can plummet people with my arguments. I can show them how smart I am. I can embarrass them if I want to. What do they know? I can show them how frum I am because my knowledge of Torah is so great. And if you'll tell me, the Toras Chaim says that, oh, how can that be? I thought if a person studies Torah, doesn't that automatically mean that they're going to be tzaddikim? And the answer is absolutely not. If you look at the Gemara in Sanhedrin, the 10th Perek of Achelek, you find that some of the greatest Torah scholars were Rishoyim, were wicked people. Let's just take a few examples. The Toras Chaim mentions Menashe, who was the king of Yehuda. Menashe, who didn't have a chelek in Olam Haba, according to one opinion in the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Menashe, the Gemara says, was a great scholar of Torah. Whatever Torah meant then, during Bayis Rishav. Listen to this. Dovar HaMelech had a Rebbe. You know what his Rebbe's name was? Achitofel. The Gemara tells us about Achitofel that no one knew more about understanding the word of Hashem than Achitofel. He was the Torah genius in his time. You all know what Achitofel. Achitofel was a Rasha. Achitofel advised Avshalom to rebel against his father and kill David. Achitofel was a Rasha. Doeg Ho'adomi was the Rebbe of whom? He was the Rebbe of Shaul HaMelech and also of David. Doeg Ho'adomi was responsible for Shaul HaMelech wiping out all the Kohanim of the city of Nob. And we go on and on. Just because a person is a genius in Torah does not guarantee that what? That he will be a tzaddik and a chassid. There is a big disconnect there. And you know what that disconnect is? If you don't study Torah Lishma, you can become a great Torah scholar. You can give lectures on Torah, but you can be a lowlife. You can be a scoundrel. You can be a Rasha. That's what happens when you don't study Torah Lishma. The Netziv, in his introduction to the book of Bereishis, says this clearly, based on the Gemara in Yuma. The Gemara says in Yuma that the people during Bayis Sheni were Lomdei Torah. They were Gomel Chasodim, and yet the second temple was destroyed because of Sin Aschinim. I don't get it. They learned Torah. They were Oseik B'Torah. They were involved in Torah, and yet they were guilty of Sin Aschinim. I mean, there's a disconnect. Yes, there's a disconnect. The Netziv says they were scoundrels. The Netziv says they didn't understand what it means to learn Torah Lishma. So that's one thing that can happen when you don't learn Torah Lishma, and what ensures or at least guarantees or reminds you that you learn Torah Lishma is if you do what? You make the bracha which says Vilomdei Sorasecha Lishma. But here's something else that can happen. There is a. Let me introduce it in the following way. There's a Gemara in Sota that says that there's a pasuk at Tehillim which goes like this, Zemiros hayu li chukecha. It means David HaMelech is saying, the words of the Torah were like a song to me. Now, does that sound like a positive statement? Could you imagine that anyone would be critical of David? Gemara in Sota is very critical of David. How dare David call the laws of the Torah Zemiros? Songs. And the Gemara then proceeds to tell the story. That when David HaMelech wanted to bring the Aron, the Ark, to Yerushalayim, he put the Ark on a wagon. And we all know the story of what happened. The wagon began to totter. Uzzah tries to prevent it from falling down, and he is killed. And the Gemara says, David HaMelech didn't know what any child knows in Cheder. That the Torah says, by the B'nai Kohos, Bakos, save ye so. You don't put the Torah on the wagon, you put the Torah on your shoulders. When David HaMelech then realized his mistake, when the Ark is brought to Yerushalayim, it's brought on the shoulders. What does this mean? The Torah is meant to be felt, if necessary, as a burden on your shoulders. It's not just a nice song. It's not just pleasant. It's not just some intellectual delight that I enjoy. No. The Torah sometimes imposes itself upon us. If you look upon the Torah as just what? Oh, it's so nice and pleasant. I love to learn Torah. I get so much pleasure out of chulent on Shabbos and making Kiddush, and it's wonderful and wonderful. And that's it. You say, Zemiros hayulichu kecha. That's all you say. So the Gemara waves its finger at Davar HaDavar HaMelech. That's not right. You have to feel the weight of the Torah. Sometimes the Torah will impose its will upon you, and you may not like it. And you may not understand it. You may not even agree. But if you're learning Torah lishma, and you're not learning Torah for yourself, what makes you feel good, then you won't make that mistake. Not learning Torah lishma, according to the Keren Ora, who proposes this view, is basically saying is, I can't learn Torah as an instrumental value towards something else. I can't use Torah for something else. The learning of Torah has to be for its own sake, for its own sake. Now, if we understand that this was indeed the sin, if this was the sin, now we could understand Al Shelo Berchu Batara Tchila. What was the Gemara telling us? That the people, of course they learned Torah, but they didn't learn Torah Lishma. And because they didn't learn Torah Lishma, they opened themselves up to terrible, terrible possibilities. And these possibilities unfortunately occurred. What would have happened had they learned Torah Lishma? Had they said the bracha over the Torah first? Had they understood what the deep meaning of Talmud Torah really is? What would have happened? So the Chasam Sofer, pardon me, the Toras Chaim, offers a very interesting answer. He says, we have a Gemara that says, Barasi Yetzirah, Barasi Torah Tavlin. There is something called the Yetzirah. We all have to deal with it. We all have to struggle with it. But if we're involved in Torah, and this is to men and women both, if we're involved in Torah, then that will protect us from the Yetzirah. He goes on to say the following. What does it mean it will protect us? If the Jewish people had learned Torah properly, if they had learned Torah lishma, they wouldn't have seen Torah as just some intellectual enterprise. It just wouldn't have been what? A course that they take in the university. It wouldn't have been something that would have served their own selfish needs to pound on other people's heads, to make themselves feel proud and pompous that they know more than anybody else. God forbid. If they had learned Torah lishma, it would have given them the strength and ability so that, you know what? They never would have committed those sins to begin with. Rav Nevinsohn, the great Rav Nevinsohn Shlita, makes the same comment. He says, yes, they were guilty of shfichus damim, of murder, of sexual immorality, avodah zarah. But you know why they were guilty of that? You know why they were tempted to commit those crimes? Because they didn't learn Torah. No, they learned Torah. How can you learn Torah and commit those crimes? Because if you don't learn Torah lishma, you learn Torah for the wrong reasons. That's exactly what's going to happen. It won't protect you from those crimes. You're going to commit those crimes, and you'll do worse, with the consequence being that the Beis HaMikdash will be destroyed. The Meshech Chochma, in discussing this, again, it's on the sheet. If we start reading it, we will not finish. The Meshech Chochma says, you know what happens when you learn Torah lishma? He says, you discover something incredible. And this is the words that he used. You know this phrase. He says, you discover, ki heim chayenu v'yorech yomenu. That the study of Torah is not just some intellectual delight. It can be. Of course, we learn Torah. It's very enjoyable. We figure out a kasha. We see an insight. Right? We come away with a message. It's wonderful. But it's so much more than an intellectual delight. What is it? It's ki heim chayenu v'yorech yomenu, the Meshech Chochma says. It is everything. It's how we live. It's what we're supposed to do, whether we like it or not. Had the Jewish people studied Torah with an eye, that it's more than simply a course, something we're going to memorize, something we're going to know. But it's ki heim chayenu v'yorech yomenu, the Meshech Chochma says. They never would have committed these crimes. They would have been stopped. They would have been able to overcome the Yetzirah. And then the Chasam Sofer offers a rather different reason. And in order to understand, in other words, what does, again, if you study Torah Lishma, what's going to happen? Okay? The Churban is not going to occur. So here's how, before we get to the Chasam Sofer, the Alshech gives a mashal. Listen to this mashal, a very different reason. He says, there was a king who was a great king, and he had one of his servants was a musician. This musician committed a cardinal offense, a capital offense for which he was convicted and he was about to be executed. So the king went to the court and said, I'd like to ask for a stay of execution. Why? The court said, he's certainly guilty. King said, I'm not quarreling with that. My servant is guilty. But you see, every day he plays instruments for me. And when he plays these instruments for me, it calms me down. I'm able to think clearly. I'm able to make the right decisions as a king. It's wonderful. Can you have a stay of execution? The court says, fine. A number of years later, this musician decides he wants to retire. He doesn't want to play anymore for the king. So the king says, you want to retire? Then the original verdict reasserts itself, and you're going to be executed. So the Alshech says, the same idea by the Chasam Sofer, the Alshech says, that's what happened here. The Jewish people were guilty of cardinal sins. But as long as they studied Torah Lishma, studying Torah Lishma to the ears of Hashem is sweet music. Hashem is willing to what? Hashem is willing to be, okay, I'll be Michael the sins. I'll be Michael the sins. The music of their learning Torah is so incredible that I'm willing to forget these sins. But the moment that they stop learning Torah, then Hashem says, the three sins come back in full force. So according to this understanding, the reason why saying a bracha over the Torah first, saying it lishma, is so important. Because so long as I learn Torah lishma, I'm fending off whatever punishment is due to me because of my averis. But it goes even further. And this, I'd like you to look at the source sheet on page 1. This is a very famous Yalkut. This is on line 42 on page 1. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu understands this is not a game. The Jewish people are going to learn Torah Lishma. What about all those terrible crimes that they committed? Watch this Yalkut. The Yalkut says, Rav Hunav Rav Yirmiv Yashmuel, etc. Matzinu Shevita HaKadosh Baruch Hu al Avodes Elilim V'Agili Arayis V'Al Shvichas Domin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was willing, you know what Mevater means? He was willing to what? Forgive. He was willing to forget. Kadosh Baruch Hu was willing to forgive and forget these three cardinal sins that the Jewish people were guilty of, according to the Gemara in Bayis Rishon. But watch this. He says, V'alma of the Lovit alma aso haTorah. But you hate the Torah, you despise the Torah. Kadosh Baruch Hu says that I'm not going to forgive. Alma of the Haaretz al avodes elilim al gili arayas al shvichas dom ein kisiv kan elo azavam es Torasi. Rav Huna v'Rav Chia, etc. He says, Halavai osi ozovu v'sorosi shamaru. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, let them forget about me, but observe my Torah. She'ilu torosi shamaru. Listen to this, the underline. Mitoch shehoyu mis'askim bo hoyisamach hazero etzli. Why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu willing to be mevater on everything, except people who despise and who degrade the Torah? Because Hashem says, if you study Torah Lishma, you know what's going to happen? You'll eventually do what? What does it mean? Machaziro etzli. What will you do? You'll do tshuva. And if you do tshuva, of course you're going to be forgiven. So studying Torah Lishma does two things. First of all, it fends off the punishment. There's a delay of execution because HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves to hear the Jewish people study Torah Lishma. But in addition, if you continue studying Torah Lishma, you know what's going to happen? Inevitably, you're going to regret the sins that you committed and you'll do tshuva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is willing to wipe the slate clean. So, basically, what have we concluded? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, the Navi says, Alma of the Haaretz, why was the land destroyed? because the Jewish people didn't say a bracha over the Torah first, they didn't study Torah lishma, they used the Torah for their own selfish purposes. But when the Torah is studied lishma for its own sake, for its own reason, then Torah can be transformative. It can change us. It imposes itself upon us. It fashions us. It molds us. But only if we submit to Torah unconditionally. That's what Torah lishma is. It's for its own sake, not for any other ulterior motive. Torah doesn't have an instrumental value. It has an absolute value, an absolute value. Just consider this, ladies. What is sin? What is chet? Chet begins with the self as the driving force. There's a statement, the Gemara in Kiddushin, Ein Adam Chote Velo Lo. A person only sins if he what? If he can get something out of it. It all begins with us. We sin because it's about us, you know? And that us overwhelms everything else. But if you learn Torah lishma, that Torah overwhelms the self, overrules the self, transforms the self, and through tshuva, we become a different person. Now we can understand the question that we asked, why is the bracha of the Torah said first, when normally a Birchas HaTorah comes afterwards because we're thanking Hashem? The answer should be clear. Because I can't open up a book of Torah unless I first do it with the right kavana. And what kavana must I have? V'lom dei sorasecho lishma. Every time I learn Torah, it has to be, it's kihem chayenu v'yorech yomenu. I'm doing it lishma. I better do it for the right reasons. It can't be self-serving. And if I study Torah that way, it will transform me. That's why, in thanking Hashem for giving us the Torah, I do it first to make sure my kavana will be correct. This is the opinion of the Meshech Chochma. I want to go another step further, ladies. Why? What is the mechanics of lishma? How does it work? Because I'm still bothered by the following question. All this is very important. Ashalo bercha batara tchila, I understand. Right, we didn't do it. But churban? It should result in churban? Isn't that a reach? Isn't that too much? Stay with me on this. What are the mechanics of lishma? How does it transform us? So the Gemara in Brachos tells us, how do we know? What's the source for having to recite Birchas HaTorah? So the Gemara quotes a pasuk in Hazinu, Ki Shem Hashem Ekra Havu Godel Lelokeinu. I will call upon the name of Hashem, and Havu Godel, I will speak about the greatness of Hashem. So speaking about the greatness of Hashem means what? Means saying a bracha. Tell me, listen to that verse again. Tell me if you hear the word Torah. Ki Shem Hashem Ekra Havu Godel Elokeinu. Is the word Torah mentioned in that pasuk? No. So why does the Gemara insist in Brachos, the first perek, why does the Gemara insist that that is the source for, the biblical source for having to say Birchas HaTorah? The word Torah is not mentioned there. So the commentaries explain, yes, the Torah is mentioned there. I didn't hear it. Listen again. Ki Shem Hashem Ekra. When I call upon the name of Hashem. Guess what the name of Hashem means? The name of Hashem is the Torah. And here I'd like you to look at this source because I want to, you know, you'll think I'm making it up if you haven't heard. Take a look at page 4, which is the last page. And take a look at line 15 on page 4. So the Marsha says, Kishani kore b'Torah shehi kula shemos shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Torah, ladies, is not, as many people think, a book about Hashem. It's not a book which speaks what Hashem wants, but the Torah is, it equates with, it is equal to God. The Torah is the highest expression that a human being can understand God. It equates with God. It is the name of Hashem. The Ramban on line 17, the Ramban quotes the Zohar, Ki kol ha-Torah kula shemosav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If I were to ask you, how do you spell the name of God? You know how you spell the name of God? It begins with the Beis of Bereishis, and it ends with the Lamed of Yisrael. The first letter in the Torah, and what? The last letter in the Torah. That's the name of Hashem. That's the name of Hashem. That's what the Gemara says. Now, therefore, when you study Torah Lishma, you know what you're doing? You're not studying about God. You know what happens? You are actually connecting with God. V'hatem hadveikim b'Hashem Elokeichem. When you study Torah, you are clinging to God. It's not sitting down and reading a book like you'd study Lahavdil, chemistry, biology, physics. The Torah is not something you're... When you learn Torah, it is an act of worship. When you go into a Beis Medrash and you see men sitting down and learning Torah, does it look like the New York City Library? Is it absolute? What do you see? You see people, what do they do when they learn? You see them shuckling back and forth. If you didn't know anything, you know what you would think was happening there? You'd think what? They were what? They were praying. You know something? They are. Because the study of Torah is an avoda in itself. We are connecting with Hashem when we study Torah. In other words, when you recite a bracha, the Birchas HaTorah before the Torah, you know what you're doing? You are inviting Hashem in. You're saying, I want to connect with you, Hashem. It's like what we learn in Pirkei Avos, when Pirkei Avos says that any person who learns Torah, Shechina Shuruya Beinayim. You learn Torah, it's like you're bringing the Shechina down. You bring the Shechina down. Bechol makom, Pirkei Avos quotes, Asher azkire shemi avo elecho v'raticha. Anytime you mention my name, God says, I will come down and bless you. How do you mention God's name? I'll tell you a secret. How do you mention God's name? Open up a book of Torah and study it. Every time you study Torah, you are what? Invoking Hashem's name. Invoking Hashem's name. You are connecting with Hashem. It is a religious experience. It's not an academic experience. It's a religious experience when you study Torah. I remember when I was at the yeshiva, so Rav Soloveitchik's son, Rabbi Chaim Soloveitchik, he used to come in, he used to have a chavrusa, I'll never forget it. He would come to a table like this. He would first clean the table, make sure it was clean anyway. He would take a cloth and clean the table. He would set out his books very orderly, he'd sit down. He had his jacket on. So I remember once, what are you doing? I mean, it's like a whole ritual. So he looked at me as if I was crazy. He says, what are you talking about? I'm about to sit down and engage in a meeting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not just I'm not learning a page of Gemara. That's how it is when you sit and learn Torah. That's why Torah can be such a transforming experience, because it's not simply an intellectual experience, but it's a religious experience. You know what happens when what happens when you connect with God? What happens when it's atem hadvekim, when you cling to God? You know what the result is? The result is mahurachum afatorachum. The Gemara at the end of Shabbos. What does it mean? When you get close to God, what do you want to do? You want to be what? You want to be like Him. You want to be like Him. You want to emulate Him. Or to use the Latin expression, imitatio Dei, you want to imitate Him. And when you imitate Hashem, you can't go wrong. You're not going to commit any sins. You're going to be like God. Kidoshim tiyu, ki kadosh ani Hashem Elokeichem. That only happens through the medium of what? Of Torah. That's the primary way in which it happens. It's lishma, I'm connecting not with Torah, but with Hashem. And when I connect with Hashem, I want to be like Hashem. And when I want to be like Hashem, I don't commit averus. I don't commit sins. Now, If lishma, studying Torah lishma, means connecting with Hashem, inviting the Shechina down, which is how the Achronim, the Meshech Chochma, and others, how they discuss it, then, ladies, when you don't study Torah lishma, the opposite occurs. What's the opposite? Instead of bringing Hashem down, guess what you do? You drive him away. You drive him away. And when you drive Hashem away, you know what the result is? Churban, destruction. Histalkus HaShechina. Without the Shechina, without Hashem's presence, everything breaks loose. As the poet says, the center cannot hold, and there is destruction. That's what happens when you don't study Torah Lishma. You are telling God, goodbye, I don't need you. And God says, I'm going. And when God leaves, there's churban. So here's the sequence, ladies. You want to know why there's churban? So the Talmud tells us, because the Jewish people, shelo berchu b'Torah tchila, they didn't say a bracha over the Torah first. And therefore, because they didn't say that bracha, they didn't learn Torah lishma. And because they didn't learn Torah lishma, Torah did not have a transforming effect upon them. And when Torah didn't have a transforming effect upon them, man became selfish, self-serving. Sin broke loose. They committed the cardinal sins. Hashem then leaves. And when Hashem leaves, there is churban. Now I see the connection. Do you see now why, by not saying a blessing over the Torah first, the ultimate sequence is, tragically, churban, the destruction of the temple. And now we come full circle. The original question that we asked. The aspect, the unique aspect of Avelus on Tisha B'Av is that we don't learn Torah. You know why we don't learn Torah on Tisha B'Av? Because it's to remind us of the central reason why the Churban occurred. We want to learn Torah on Tisha B'Av. We don't. Don't learn Torah on Tisha B'Av as a remembrance. Remember, you're in mourning. In mourning for what? Because once upon a time, the Jewish people didn't know how to learn Torah. They didn't learn how to Torah lishma. And because they didn't learn Torah lishma, everything bad happened to them. Therefore, today, don't learn Torah. To remind us of the century, the avelus, we have to mourn. What are we mourning over? The destruction of the Beis HaMikdash? That's only part of it. What we're mourning is Hashem left. His talkus HaShechina, Hashem left. That's why the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Because Hashem chose to leave. Why? Because we pushed him away. We didn't learn Torah lishma. We didn't invite Hashem into our lives. Torah wasn't kihem chayenu v'yorach yomenu. Do you understand this? It's critical, fundamental. When you study Torah, you're studying Hashem. You're embracing Hashem. When you don't study Torah lishma, you know, God is sort of like secondary. Not that important. God says, okay, I'm going. We never want God to go. Because in the wake of God's departure, there is always churban. Again, let's see if we can conclude with one final thought. What is this experience? Let's see if we can understand. We spoke about, okay, we connect with Hashem when we learn Torah Lishma. And as a result, we will imitate Hashem. Okay? Is there anything else? Is there anything else about the experience of being one with Hashem? V'atem ha'dvekim b'Hashem Elokecha. So I'd like to suggest that there is. Rav Yecheskel Abramsky, who wrote a very famous commentary on the Tosefta, one of the great Gedolim of the last century, he quotes one of the kinos that we recite in the morning, and the kino says, Al churban beis hamigdash ki hu ras v'chi hu dash. We mourn the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash that was torn down and trampled. So he says, what's the double verb here? Ki hu ras v'chi hu dash. And he comes up with an incredible statement. He says, we're mourning the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, but you know what else we're mourning? We're mourning
Churban itself, we're mourning the fact that none of us can appreciate what Churban is. Now, what does that mean? Let's take a look at a pasuk. You don't have it here in front of you, a pasuk in Ezra. The pasuk in Ezra, in the third perek, in the third perek, when they're building the second Beis Hamikdash. So you don't have it, unfortunately, I didn't get a chance to put this on the sheet, but the pasuk says like this in Ezra. The pasuk says that everyone was gathering around, they were building, the first part of Vayesheni was building, V'rabi me'akonim ha'leviyim, etc. Sabayis harishon b'yisoda. There were many people in that audience, the old timers who remember the first Beis Hamikdash. And everyone was what? Everyone was happy and joyous building the second Beis Hamikdash, but they, bochim b'kol gadol, they were crying. So Rashi says, you know why they were crying? Because they remembered the first Beis Hamikdash. And as great as the second Beis Hamikdash was, didn't compare with the first. Let me ask you something, ladies, I speak for myself. Have any of us ever witnessed the operation of the Beis Hamikdash in all of its glory? No. Have we ever heard the beautiful instrumental music of the Levium in the Beis Hamikdash on a typical Tuesday? No. Have any of us heard and smelled this incredible ethereal ketores, the incense that waft throughout the city of Yerushalayim and beyond? Have any of us ever had that experience? No. Let me ask you something. How dare we speak of Churban if we never knew what we missed? None of us. Even the greatest of the greats. So Rabbi Yecheskel Abramsky says, we're mourning over the fact, the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, I'm mourning over the fact that I can't experience Churban because none of us were around during Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni. So what do we do about that? How do we handle that? So here's an explanation that's from my Rebbe, Rav Soloveitchik, and others. There's a Gemara in Sanhedrin that speaks about Shechenta de Rabban Gamliel. Rabban Gamliel, one of the great leaders of the Jewish people, had a neighbor. And Nebuch, this woman, lost a child. And she could not get over the loss of the child. And every night she would cry. When Rabban Gamliel would hear her crying, he would cry as well. And the Gemara says he cried so much that his eyelashes fell off. And that Gemara is on the pasuk Bacho Sivkeh that we read last night in Eicha. So people say, what connection does that story have with the Beis Hamikdash? Bacho Sivkeh, we will cry Balayla, Bacho Sivkeh, a double crying? What does that have to do with this story? It's a very, very tragic story about Shechenta the Rabbi Gamliel. What does that have to do with the Churban? So the answer is, it has everything to do with the Churban. Churban is much more than the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. It is that. But like we said before, Churban is when Hashem leaves. When Hashem leaves, ladies, it's not just the destruction of a building, but life itself becomes dark and gloomy. Life itself becomes conflicting, filled with machlokas, filled with tension. Life without Hashem means that tragedies can come from left field and devastate us. That's Churban. Hashem is gone, and when Hashem is gone, anything could happen. Everything breaks loose. We can't control anything. All you have to do is pick up the newspaper, listen to the radio. We know what the very difficult contemporary situation is. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not here. This is Churban. This is the experience of Churban. And this we can relate to. This we can relate to. Even though I wasn't there during the Bayis Rishon, Bayis Sheni. But Churban, we can all look into our lives. There are the disappointments, the unhappy moments, the frustrations, the depressions. Yes, we overcome them. Yes, there are times of simcha and joy. But on Tisha B'Av, we remember that dimension, that reality of Churban. Let me tell you what's going to happen when the Beis Hamikdash, Bayis Shlishi, will be rebuilt. Now, this is important. If I were to ask you what's going to be the central feature of the building of the third Beis Hamikdash, you would say what? you would say, what I would say, well, the Beis HaMikdash will be restored in all of its sacred glory. We'll see the Avodah, everything that I said earlier. Ladies, that's not what the Navi says. Yes, that will happen, but that's not going to be the central feature, the experience that all of us will have during Bayis Shlishi, or when Mashiach comes. Listen to the same Navi, who talks about the fast days, Zechariah. Again, you don't have it in front of you, forgive me. But here's what he says. Ko amar Hashem Tzavakos, od yeshvu zekeinim uzekeinos beruchovos Yerushalayim, ish b'mishanto b'yodo meirov yomim. So Mashiach is here. You walk out of your house on Yerushalayim. What are you going to see? You're going to see elderly people walking around the streets of Yerushalayim, carefree. Everyone needing a cane. We'll still need our canes. It'll be an atmosphere of serenity. Listen to this. Urechovos ha'ir yimalu yulodim v'yulodos mesachakim b'rechovosea. We're going to look around. We'll see little children playing in the streets. This is the vision of Mashiach. What does it mean? When Hashem comes back, you know what happens? People are playing in the streets. People are walking. There's a sense of profound security, a sense of deep joy. No competition, no pettiness, right? No selfishness. There's a relaxed atmosphere. Yes, the Beis HaMikdash is functioning, wonderful. But the influence of Bayis Shlishi spreads out and it affects an entire atmosphere and climate. Because Hashem is back, and when Hashem is back, no bad thing can even begin. I am elevated to such a level, to such a spiritual high, that someone didn't say hello to me. I mean, like, it doesn't compute. It doesn't compute. This is what happens when we feel a palpable presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the opposite of Churban. So today, when we sit and we mourn the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, if I'm correct in what I said, what I'd like you to remember, ladies, what I need to remember is, it's today that we do it. Because today we need to be focused on why we're doing it. Yes, we had the Torah, but we didn't use the Torah properly. We forgot to say the bracha. We didn't learn Torah Lishma. And because we didn't learn Torah Lishma, eventually what happened? HaKadosh Baruch Hu left. And when he left, we experienced the worst of the worst. Churban. In all of its forms. In all of its forms. And we can relate to that today. But Hashem reminds us, the Gemara tells us at the end of Tainus, the Gemara says, that kol hamis abil al Yerushalayim zoche v'roe b'simchata. By virtue of the fact that we can sit here and remember and reflect upon why we are here, and why we didn't say the bracha over the Torah first, and what that led to, if we can internalize that message of what really brought about the Churban, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, we will merit b'simchata, we will merit in witnessing and experiencing the joy of Hashem coming back. Simchu es Yerushalayim v'giluva kolo aveo, sisuo samosos kolam b'sablim aleo. May indeed that come to be, all of us who mourn, very soon. May we experience the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash and the return of the Shechina to our own country and to the world.